Good day, good night, and welcome to the Predictions Show. Yes, it's finally here, Dwayne. The World Cup starts in just a few hours, and we're ready with our prediction. We'll go group by group. We have a miscellaneous predictions as well. That's a tough word to say when you're Francophone. And there's a lot of consonant in that word, so it's kind of hard for me to say. But yes, we have a lot of predictions. What's going to happen? Who's going to win? Who's going to go to the semis? You'll find out before the end of the show. But first of all, good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. You said the World Cup's just hours away, and that is true. But you know what else is just hours away? Something even more interesting and exciting for those of us in Canada, the United States, Mexico, and Morocco is, of course, by this time tomorrow, we will know where the 2026 World Cup is going to be held and whether or not it's possible that we might start. Well, Kevin and I are trying to figure the timing out just yet, but we're going to try and be live or at least initially or immediately after the announcement tomorrow. So it could be an early one if you want to listen to us live. Certainly it'd be on demand. But tomorrow's a big day. It's really just starting right now is what I'm getting at.
6 a.m. on Wednesday morning will be the announcement on TSN, Sportsnet, pretty much every sports channel in the entire world. And we will be live on our YouTube page, youtube.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Let's start with the first group. Let's start with group A. We'll go group by group, and we'll go with the knockout stage until the quarters. And then we'll give you a little tease of our miscellaneous, and then we'll talk about the winner later. Yes, you have to stick around till the end of the show if you want to know who's going to win the World Cup, according to Dwayne and I. Let's start with group A in this predictions show, Dwayne. Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. One of the most underwhelming Group A I have ever seen.
Yeah, no, statistically speaking, if you go by the FIFA World Cup ranking, which you never should, but if you do, this is the lowest ranked group in the 32-team era of the World Cup. It is the worst first game of the World Cup. There's just not a lot of excitement here. Saudi Arabia is one of the least fancied teams I could ever imagine in a World Cup. You look at their roster, there's barely anyone that plays beyond their own country. There's nothing wrong with domestic leagues. I mean, sometimes you'll see teams that are primarily made up of domestic players that do quite well, even though they're non-fancied players. But this is, I can't remember a team since maybe 1990, 94, back then when we didn't know a lot about these teams, we didn't see them as much, it's really, really hard to get a handle. I was doing the research on Saudi Arabia yesterday, and it's like, oh, wow, this is – I'm not even going to really pretend otherwise. This is a tough team to handicap, but this is not a very well-meaning group.
They have one great goal scorer who scored 16 goals in qualification, but the level of the opposition in this qualification process is a bit biased, so the amount of goals scored is a bit biased there. But yes, that may be the only saving grace for Saudi Arabia. They have one player who knows how to score, and his name escapes me right now, and I'll probably butcher it anyways. So apologies for not mentioning him. But Saudi Arabia's best chance is to hopefully get a goal. Not even talking about a win here. But Russia as a host is, that's the interesting part too. Remember Russia in 2008 when they were like, what, quarters of the Euro, semifinal of the Euro, something like that? And a lot of things changed since then. We're far away from Arshavin and that golden generation. There's no expectations whatsoever on the Russian national team. Even so, people are not talking about getting out of the group stage. Russians just want a good organized World Cup. That's the expectations in Russia. We don't care about our own team. Let's make sure this tournament goes out without a hitch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they'll get behind them when it starts, just like any host country. But this is not much expectations here at all. You know, I give them a chance to get out of the group, and that's a lot of people looked at that draw and went, okay, now FIFA, you're not even trying to hide it. This is a soft group.
It's kind of part of that. You're right. It's a soft group, and the fact that it's the most lowest seeded. If you go by FIFA ranking, like you mentioned, it's the most terrible group ever in the history of the World Cup. The fact that it's the host country. If you were a conspiracy theorist, this would be a red flag. This will be a false flag. This will be something that you'd be like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. But we're not saying we are conspiracy theorists. And let's just put it in the back of coincidence. Let's just blame coincidences.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. I mean, in defense, whenever you have a host country, which automatically gets the A seed in a group that is as lowly ranked as Russia, that group is going to be lowly ranked simply because the numbers are going to be dragged down by the fact that they don't have a top 10 team as their number one seed, right? When you do the draw out here, it didn't help, obviously, that Uruguay has played very well in the last year, and we'll talk about them probably in a minute, but they played very well in the last year, but they are on the tail end of a golden generation. They're just starting to mix in some of that youth in the last year or so, and they picked it up and started to play a little bit more like we used to see in Uruguay in the last two World Cups. So I do think Uruguay is the true A seed in here, and I'm giving away my number one pick, and I don't think you're probably going to be much different, Kevin. I'll ask you in a minute. Depends, I guess, on your injury concerns on Egypt. But
exactly. I agree. And Uruguay, outside of the last year, they have struggled. Let's go back to the last World Cup and the Suarez suspension, and Suarez missed a few games, and they had terrible results, and it wasn't as easy as predicted in the qualification process. Yes, you mentioned Uruguay in the last year. They had good results and they're on a run. But before that, it was a bit of a shambles of a qualification process, and the need to reassess and change a bit of the tactics for Uruguay, and now finally finding Cavani again. And I think that's a bit of what Uruguay needs to make sure. Uruguay is a bit of a Portugal, but with not as a high ceiling as a Ronaldo as a player. Cavani's a bit under Ronaldo, but the team is a bit more close in talent, I would say. So Uruguay as a team could be dangerous, and yes, it is my favorite for this group. My prediction, it's a prediction show, so I'll wet my feet right now. Group A, for me, is going to be won by Uruguay. And Egypt will finish second. We'll see what Salah has to say. It's not just about Mo Salah for Egypt, let's not forget. But Egypt second because of the injury worries. I don't necessarily believe Salah is going to be 100% for the first game, even maybe for the second and third. But I do feel under their coach right now, that they can have a chance at getting out of the group with a second position for Egypt. So for me, Uruguay and Egypt.
All right. And I'm assuming you have Saudi Arabia at the bottom of the group, as do I. But we differ in terms of our two pick. I do think the hosts will get through because I don't believe Salah's going to play. I think he's out longer than we think. And Egypt has really no secondary scoring of note. They really rely a great deal on that talisman, as any club that would have him, any team in the world that would have him would. So you can't blame them for setting up around that. And when you have an injury so devastating, so close to the World Cup, that's going to be difficult to overcome. Not even factoring in the fact that you have a host team there, which does naturally get some advantages, even when you're as host as weak as Russia. So I'm going to go with Uruguay, Russia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia as my 1-4 pick in Group A.
We'll see how this affects our own knockout stage predictions later on. So let's move with Group B. Group B, one of the best ever first game in a World Cup group stage, Friday afternoon. Portugal, Spain. What a matchup. What a way to kick off Group B. I think that's the best game I've ever seen in a group stage to kick it off, especially.
Yeah, you know, certainly, the Iberian Peninsula rivalry, derby, whatever you want to call it there, is pretty enticing. Often, my only caveat to that would be often you've seen in the past when you have two top teams like that meeting off in the group stage, you sometimes see these dull nil-nils or something like that. So neither one wants to give too much up for later on in the tournament, but certainly an exciting matchup there. This does, on chalk, this is a pretty simple group to pick. The World Cup often does go to chalk, but sometimes there are upsets, and we'll talk about whether I think there might be an upset here or not in a minute, but certainly that is an exciting matchup. I do, if you look at the bottom half of the draw, first off, when you're talking about Iran, I look at them in much of the same way I look at Saudi Arabia. There's a lot of domestic players. They've done well in their own qualifying, but never trust Asian qualifying. If you look at the history of the Asian teams in the last, since it went to 32, they're terrible. They are less than 1 point per game on average. They're a little above 1 point per game when you look at the overall Asian results. When you remove 2002 from that, they drop down to a little below. When you remove South Korea and Japan from that, which are the dominant 1-2 teams in the region, they drop down to an absurd amount of points. Like, it's 0.25 points per game as their average. So really, I don't expect much from Iran. Morocco, they're an interesting team. It's the first World Cup in quite a while. They could be coming off a really big high when they find out that they qualify for another World Cup tomorrow. Well, and spoiler alert, that's my prediction, is they will be coming off a pretty big high. So that's I look at this, the Morocco-Portugal game, as the most interesting game in this match, because I'm pretty high on Spain. I think Spain's got it going back around again. They are starting to look a lot like 2007 Spain to me now, where everyone's going, I don't know, it's just Spain. They always screw up in the end, and then they just rolled, right?
And then they win three big tournaments in a row. Yeah, maybe.
So no, that's where I kind of come down on Spain, but yeah.
Yeah, Diego Costa as a striker for Spain. For me, Spain is clearly the top of this group. Spain will win this group. And Portugal, for me, will finish second. Portugal will have an interesting tournament, maybe not to the expectations of 2 years ago, like the Euro. But I do feel Spain is the best team in this group. And I don't necessarily expect an upset here. I do feel Portugal will play good enough and will find ways to give service to Ronaldo. That's the interesting aspect for Portugal for me, is they're putting Ronaldo as a striker. They're getting rid of his defensive responsibilities, putting him up there. Now it's making sure he has the service. You don't want to isolate your best player and put him on an island if another team is able to suffocate that service. If they're able to give the ball to Ronaldo, Ronaldo's going to score goals. Depending on how far Portugal makes it in the tournament, he can be a contender for the Golden Boot or not. But for me, they will have a successful group stage. They might lose the first game against Spain or a draw, like you mentioned. But I feel they have the class and the quality to beat Morocco and Iran and find themselves in the second spot in the group. And I do predict Spain and Portugal to get out. I predict the Iberian Peninsula to get out of the group.
All right. I'm not just trying to be contrarian. I have a reason for this. I've explained why I'm picking Iran to be last in the group and Spain to be first. I'm going to pick Morocco for the upset over Portugal, and it has a lot to do with a couple things. First off, if you look at Portugal's play in the group stages of the last few major competitions, including Euro, it has not been strong. They have struggled against teams that have played a similar style as them, that have sort of got in their face and forced the agenda upon them. Morocco likes to sort of play a bit of a high press, more direct game that has caused Portugal some problems. Portugal likes to play a similar game, so they're basically forced into being, there's kind of a chess match that happens there. The second factor is obviously they have either 1A or 1B player in the tournament, right? But that 1A, 1B player has played an awfully lot of football in the last 3 years.
That's true. You can say four. You can add like the last World Cup in there too. So yeah, I would say like the last 4 years, there's not like a summer where he hasn't celebrated a trophy and went deep into runs and played deep into June. So yeah, that's true.
And even Superman has kryptonite, and that kryptonite is just, your body wears down. And I'm not sure that we saw him in the Champions League final. He was kind of invisible. I'm not sure Ronaldo has what it takes right now, just because of fatigue, to carry a team on his shoulders again. So combining that with their poor play in the group stages, again, including they finished third in Euro. Keep that in mind. They were not particularly dominant. They just got defensively solid in the group stage, in the knockout round. That's it. They won it like Greece did. So I think that Euro blinds people a little bit to Portugal's vulnerability. So I'm going to pick Morocco in what will be a pretty big upset to knock Portugal off for that two spots. So I go Spain, Morocco, Portugal, in a way, the European champions out at the group stage.
In a way, I can see it happen too. Example, Spain beats Portugal in the opening game and you're already chasing points, right? If you're Portugal and you lost against Spain to begin the tournament, you're already chasing a 3 point. You're already chasing a win and a goal differential. So that could be dangerous. And then if you're late into the second game and it's still 0-0, you have to open up and you give an opportunity for an Iran or Morocco to maybe hit you on the counter, get a result. That could be dangerous. I could see it happen, of course. So we'll see which one of us is right. So far, two groups, and we don't agree. I like it. That's the beauty of the beautiful game in the World Cup, is sometimes it's a game of very slim margins, and one goal here or there, or a non-goal or a non-call, whatever, could decide who gets out of the group. Three games goes by really quickly, especially if there's draws in this group. Moving to Group C. France, Australia, Peru, and Denmark. This one's not that it's hard to handicap, but there's clearly a favorite, and then it depends how you view tactics and ways. There's a nice shirt that I've seen yesterday, Dwayne, that you know those scenarios A and B, and if A happens, you do this, and if B happens, you do this? The Denmark strategy is give the ball to Eriksen. Where is there a goal? Yes, so it's kickoff. There is no goal? No, give the ball back to Eriksen, and you hope that there's a goal. Did he score? No, give back the ball to Eriksen. That is literally what was going on in qualification, and Denmark will go as far as Eriksen will take them.
Yeah, that's possible. There's been a bit of a news out of the Denmark camp, and I don't have my notes in front of me, so forgive me. I'm the name has escaped me, but one of their prime starting defenders injured himself playing keep up volleyball the other day. You know, when you bounce the ball back and forth and try and keep up, he tried to do an overhead kick to win and dislocated his shoulder. So this is a major blow to Denmark's chances, obviously, and in the stupidest way I could possibly imagine. And I imagine management's really happy about that. You know, you play, go ahead and play keep him up, but don't do an overhead kick in training.
It's like, geez, man, what are you trying to prove?
Exactly. I mean, look, Group C, the Aussies are, again, Asia, okay? Just why do they get five spots? Oh, anyway, Asia is particularly bad in this cycle because I keep having to Google whether South Korea is even in the tournament. Like, did South Korea somehow miss? Because they're just, like, they're terrible right now, well, all of Asia. So
they're the last team of Group H, so we forget about them really easily.
At any rate, so that's Japan. But this is either or, right? Like, there's just no memorable out of it. So I just throw them aside. Any Asian team in this tournament, just push them to the side, and they're there to make the numbers up, and it's great. It's the World Cup, not the Europe South America Cup, so that's good.
That's true. Dwayne, I was just going to add on Australia. They're having trouble managerially speaking, too. They have a brand new manager, and they're going to have another managerial change after the World Cup. There's uproar in the locker room with the training staff and Tim Cahill's back to trying to get his goal in a four straight World Cup. There's a lot of difference of opinion in this locker room. We'll see how it unfolds on the pitch for Australia.
Yeah, I mean, look, I always have a soft spot for the Commonwealth teams, for lack of a better way to put it. So when Australia's playing, I'll probably cheer for them, but I don't really give them much of a hope in this one. France is clearly, to me, far and away the best team in this group. They play a nice, fluid, solid football. If you listen to French journalists, the one thing they'll say is that this isn't the most talented French team they've seen. But it could have been even more talented. They've chosen to leave more talented players off for unity. And what do we always joke about France is they're either amazing or they blow up.
2010 ain't that far away.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, but they have a guy in Griezmann that has also played a lot of football. So it's fair. I mentioned it with Ronaldo, so I should mention it there. But that I do trust in and think is going to have a good tournament. So I think France is clearly the number one in this. I'm pretty high on Peru. Because first off, I think that the battles of going through South America really set a team up well when they get to the World Cup. Often you'll see Paraguay has done very well in World Cups. Like, by very well, I mean gotten to the round of 16 a couple times without having much fancy heading in. I kind of view Peru in the same way, that they're a solid team start to bottom. They got their top scorer back, at the last second. He scored in the last friendly. I kind of like Peru for the number two spot here, and I was kind of like leaning that way anyway. And then the injury news came out of Denmark, and I went there. So I'm getting my numbers there already. It's France, Peru, Denmark, Australia is my pick in Group C.
My pick in Group C is France as well, winning the group quite easily. I wouldn't be surprised if three wins, but France usually don't make things easy. So maybe there'll be two wins and a draw, and we'll see. But my second team is, I differ with you once again. For me, the fact that this World Cup is happening in Europe, quote-unquote. I say quote-unquote because Russia's big, so it's more than Europe, pretty much. But for me, this is going to have a say in the results of those games. And I do have maybe too much high hopes for Christian Eriksen. And it's just the amount of goals he scored in qualification, the amount of times he helped Denmark get out of a difficult situation. I see this happens once or twice in a group stage, which means one or two results, which means for me might be enough to squeak by Peru and Australia. So my Group C prediction, France, and then Denmark, Peru, and Australia.
All right. Should move to the group of death. I do think this is the group of death. It kind of becomes cliche, and I don't think there's a true, like, glaring group of death like we've seen in past World Cups. But if I was going to name one, Group D, it's a pretty damn solid group, especially if you believe in Iceland, although I don't believe in them as much as most. I think it's a great story. But
it's a great story. It's a great hype. It's fun because it gives hope to every single country in the entire world. Like, you could do it too if you invest in coaches and UEFA A and B licenses, which 500 coaches in Iceland do have. If you have a kid and you're sending him to play soccer in Iceland, there's 90% chance that he's going to have a UEFA A or B coach, no matter what level or age he is. And that's maybe the key to Grandma's Sauce in the documentary that you can see tonight on TSN, out of nowhere. It's actually a pretty good documentary about Iceland and their football history now that's become really famous since 2016. But Dwayne, I agree with you. I don't have Iceland as coming out of the group either. For me, best players at that level in that type of tournament will dictate the results. And Argentina has the best finisher in the entire world in Lionel Messi. Croatia's got one of the best midfield in the entire tournament with Modric and Rakitic. So I do feel Argentina and Croatia will get out of this group. Even though it's a group of death, you never know what can happen. If Argentina slips or something, I still feel Argentina and Croatia will get out of this group.
Yeah, we agree on this particular case for sure. I mean, as I said, I have Iceland pegged for last in this group. Nigeria is a decent side, but I don't think they quite have enough. The Croatians are a weird all the way up, all the way down kind of team. They haven't had a couple good cycles, but they've also had a couple great cycles in the past. There's a lot of talent on that team. I actually am pegging Croatia to win the group over Argentina because I don't believe in the back line in Argentina. So this is, we disagree slightly in this one. We have the same two going out, but we do disagree slightly.
It's going to make for an interesting knockout stage. All right, let's move now to Group E. Group E, group with a Serbia as well as Brazil, Switzerland, and the other team it's coming right now on the screen, Costa Rica, representative of CONCACAF. Brazil, Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia. Do we expect or do you predict any upset in this one?
No. No, I don't. So the one thing I'll say about Group E, and we kind of talked about this earlier already, is that a lot of people, especially in our listenership, look at that Costa Rican team and they're excited by what they did in the last World Cup and they think, oh, maybe they could repeat that. I think it's very difficult to have back-to-back kind of runs like a team like Costa Rica did. I'm not taking anything against it, but I don't think that they can possibly match what they did in the last World Cup. Switzerland, a couple weeks ago, they're always just good. I mean, they're never great, but they're always good. I can't see them anywhere but second in this. Serbia is kind of one of those, teams that is solid as well, that's not going to embarrass themselves, but I don't think they just have enough high-end talent to compete. And Brazil clearly is the class of this. And they have changed quite a bit in terms of the last 4 years. That 7-1 game is a long ways, well, it's not a long ways off. It's very much in the memory and it's very much going to play a big part of their narrative throughout this World Cup. But that said, they were dominant in their qualifying. They are back to what, the rank second in the world. This is still Brazil and do not pretend otherwise. So they are the best team in this group, and Switzerland will just, they'll muddle through to the round of 16 as always.
I have an upset in this one. Brazil, yes, is the best team for me. But because of sometimes small margins between making out of the group and not, I feel Costa Rica is going to have a one surprise result, maybe a win we're not expecting, and then a tie, 4 points. But because of differential, they're going to be equal on points with Switzerland, but squeak in. And I feel Brazil's going to win the group. And Costa Rica, as a surprise qualifier in the second position in Group E. And for me, we'll have a Switzerland that, as much as they're always there, as you mentioned, it's not a young Switzerland as well. And in the midfield, players like Xhaka, Dzemali, sometimes it's going to go fast. And against a team like Brazil, they can be exposed. And against a quick team, fast team like Costa Rica on the break, they might be caught. And maybe you get your result right there. So I do feel Brazil and upset Costa Rica gets out the group.
All right, fair enough. Let's move to Group F then. Obviously, the defending champions, the number one ranked team in the world in Group F in Germany. Kevin, any reason whatsoever to argue anything other than the perfectly sane conclusion that Germany wins this group?
Nope. Germany wins this group easily. 3 wins. Good differential. Not even a challenge. Maybe you'll see some rotation and see some more playing time. But the only really question we have for Germany is Manuel Neuer back to 100%. Is he going to be the goalkeeper we saw 4 years ago? Literally playing two positions, a goalkeeper and a defender at the same time. So we'll see if Manuel Neuer is back 100% for Germany.
All right, fair enough. Well, yeah, Germany can leave Sané off their lineup. Like, what other country in the world could do that and still, you know, that talks about their depth. It talks about their skill length. Clearly a team that we're going to talk a lot more about in this podcast. So we'll move on to what we think the number two team in here is. And this has the Mexicans. And yeah, the Mexicans are a very exciting team. They're a team that does have a lot of sort of flair to them. They are the classic CONCACAF right now. They have a great history in the group stages of World Cups of finding a way out. That game against Germany, I think, should be a pretty good game. I think, you know, my position on the Asian teams has been well stated already, so that's just push South Korea to the side here, and maybe I'll talk in general about the Asian teams in a different project. But it comes down to me between Mexico and Sweden. Sort of, you have kind of a conflicting styles. The Swedes are very solid. They're going to play a low block. They're going to be very organized. It got them through. It got them past Italy. Italy is not Italy anymore, but there's still a little Italy in them. They're still a very experienced team. got out of Europe. Can they have enough to nick Mexico for second place in the group with what is a very veteran Swedish team too that are all mostly sort of experiencing their one and only World Cup, obviously without Ibra anymore, and which caused them to change their system and play a more team oriented system. The star of Sweden is this team, right? That's the cliche. Swedes are saying that, you know, there's the squad is the star. So, I don't know. Is this what happens here, Mexico or Sweden?
Well, for me, I have Mexico. I have Mexico finding a way to get out of the group in second position behind Germany. And one of the reasons why is if they wear their green jersey, you know, people won't know if it's Mexico or Germany. Like, I don't know. It's the same jersey. I'm so sorry. Who are we playing against? I'm exaggerating here. What I'm saying is Mexico performs better than we analyze sometimes under Juan Carlos Osorio, even though the Mexican fans are asking for his head every few months. He usually gets the job done and gets results. And for Mexico, a result is getting out of the group, going to the round of 16, and then see what happens. Am I saying they're going to win in the round of 16? I don't know. You'll know very soon when we get to our knockout stage prediction. But for me, clearly, Germany and Mexico getting out of this group, even though it's in Europe and Sweden and there, Mexico is going to find their marks, I believe. And Mexico, with, yes, some surprise addition to the team, but have great goalkeeper and have some experience and cohesion. And I think there's something to be said about cohesion, players that know each other, players that play together. And, yeah, Mexico is going to get out of the group.
And I have picked Sweden. I just think that
nice.
I mean, it's close. I mean, it could go either way here. And it's kind of more of a hunch that Mexico has sort of played its luck to kind of consistently go around to 16 and out for a lot of World Cups. And eventually it's going to go the other way. The Swedes, as I said, are just such an organized team. And organization matters in international football nowadays. If you can play the low block consistently well and you buy into it, and you don't have a bunch of prima donnas that are like going to like, oh, I can, you know, freelance out of this for a while to break up the solidity of the lines, then you can, you know, win a World Cup. Well, we've seen them win Euros. We've seen that strategy win the Euros. So can it win a World Cup? I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not suggesting in any way whatsoever that I'm picking Sweden anywhere close to winning this World Cup. But I do think that in a game against what is a Mexican team that can be very exciting to watch and a very eye-pleasing team, I do think that maybe those conflicting styles might, you know, luck might run out for the Mexicans, and maybe this is the World Cup where they aren't losing in the round of 16, but instead are going home early.
All right, let's go to Group G. Belgium, England, Panama, and, of course, Tunisia. This is an interesting group. This group, of course, England's group, one of the groups that will follow very closely, of course, Belgium and England, one of our most favored teams, just because of how we players that we know from both teams, and it's close to the leagues that we cover on a day-to-day basis. England, of course, heritage of Dwayne and I have a pure heritage because I'm Francophone and Anglophone, so I have England, I have France, and I have, well, if Canada ever gets there, I'll have choice to make, but my question is, Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, England. Belgium, the class of the group, Dwayne, what do you think?
Yeah, no, this is a star-studded team. This is a great, great team in the Belgians. They're for real, for sure. I mean, they have some world-class players across the board, solid in every position. This is absolutely a for real Belgium team. There's no inflation to their world ranking of number three. England is the interesting team in this. And I do think, you know, to get my predictions out of the way off the top, I do think Panama and Tunisia are a ways back. This is similar to Group B in the sense that you have two clear top teams and two clear bottom teams. Unlike Group B, I am picking this to go chalk, and the fact that the Panamanians are going to finish fourth, Tunisia third, it's in England second. I think to speak to England a little bit right now, this is a World Cup too early for what this English program is going to do. And I heard an interesting comparison between England and Uruguay. Uruguay, about a year and a half ago, decided to start to flesh in young players that they identified players from successful youth programs and started to integrate them a little bit into the program and started to help them buy into this idea of playing for, as they said, this, it was a Uruguayan journalist who was comparing them in England, actually said that they're going to buy in to that sky blue shirt. I think it was on the Guardian podcast I heard this. At any rate, England's starting to do the same thing. And I think when you look at the success they've been having at the Youth World Cups, and they really have been, and you flash forward, if you can find these guys playing time somewhere else, and that's always going to be the question with England, but if you flash forward, I think that it's really realistic for 2022 to be a World Cup that the English fans can get excited about. This World Cup, I think England fans should be as excited as they should be expecting results similar to what they usually get. And what they would usually get based on past performances is second place in this group. So that's where I find this playing out.
That's where I have them too. I have Belgium clearly winning this group and England second. And we'll see what a round of 16 matchup comes out. But yeah, I do have the same ones than you on this one. Let's go to Group H. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Group G with England in the next week. Group H, last group, Senegal, Poland, Colombia, and Japan.
We talk about Group A being pretty low standard. This one isn't much below. Like in any other World Cup, you would look at this group and go, this is the weakest group. The Colombians had a great World Cup 4 years ago, as we know. They had some breakout stars. They had a quarterfinal appearance. They sort of put a stamp down as being amongst the best teams in the world, and then they kind of fell back. And we haven't really seen them reemerge since. That said, when you look at this group, it's hard to see them finishing anywhere other than first in it. So I do have them winning the group. The question becomes, who of the rest of that hodgepodge is going to emerge out? Poland's your top-ranked team there, and this is the best Polish team in a long time.
Yeah.
But it's still Poland, and they still weren't spectacular at the Euros, even though they had some advantages there. So
still a one-man show. Like, we talk about, like, one-man shows with Denmark and Eriksson. Poland and Lewandowski is similar to that, where one player has clearly a class above the rest of the players of that team and will dictate how far this team can go. And in my mind, it might be enough to squeeze out of the group, but this is maybe the least sure predictions I have in the entire tournament so far in the group stage. I do have Colombia and Poland getting out, but I can see Senegal squeeze out. I can see, maybe not Japan. For me, Japan might be the worst team in this group, but I can see any combination of Poland, Senegal, Colombia coming out of this group.
Yeah, well, again, my Asian thing. I have an over-under on 3.5 points on Asian teams as a whole in this World Cup, and I'm tending to lean on the under.
So no wins whatsoever, like draws, a few draws here and there, but mostly losses?
Yeah, well, I mean, if there's a betting house out there that will take a bet on combined Asian points at zero and give me decent odds, I might put some money on that, because I really, they're all terrible. Like, this Japanese team is awful. They just changed their manager a month ago or something. They weren't dominant at all. There was basically a lot of feeling, you know, in that country that this is the worst team in a long time. There's no excitement whatsoever. They're all low-ranked teams, and it's not been a historically good confederation anyway. So I'll put them aside. They're last to me. Again, I'm not even – maybe I'm being biased in this, and I'm sure there's Asian fans out there that think I am, but nonetheless, I'm not really too worried about that. I'd pick Senegal to finish second, mostly because, I don't know, I thought I should put an upset in there. It's really no more logic to that than that. I mean, obviously Poland could do it, but I do think Colombia is the class of this group. But obviously, you know, the other thing that's clearly coming out of how I'm talking about this is you probably shouldn't expect yeah. any of that second place team getting much past the next round. Hey, so,
you shouldn't expect too much out of any other team in this group. I'm not high on Colombia. I think they're going to have a terrible go in the group stage, and who they're going to face in the round of 16 is going to be very interesting. But for me, here it is clearly Colombia and Poland coming out. Even though I could see Senegal doing an upset like you, I decided to go chalk here for this one and maybe give more credence to the fact that Poland's playing in Europe and not too far from home, and they'll have a decent away support and might get themselves a few results and enough to get out of the group. All right, take a quick break, Dwayne. We'll come back with our miscellaneous predictions and then give out our knockout stage predictions. World Cup today live, daily during the 2018 Russia FIFA World Cup. 10 minutes after the first game of the day, around 10 a.m. Eastern Time, live on our YouTube page, youtube.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Podcast available anywhere you get your podcast and at sportspodcastingnetwork.com. Make sure you subscribe to always get the newest podcast downloaded automatically on all your devices, and ad-free versions of the show available on our Patreon. And we do appreciate your support. Patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month gives you access to the exclusive Canadian soccer-only show called the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. And for $5 gives you access to ad-free versions of all the podcasts that we do. Make sure you subscribe on all your podcatchers. Dwayne, we're back. Dwayne, it's time to give a bit of our thoughts on a few different topics, a few different predictions that we're doing. And I'll start with you with question number one. Who is going to be the worst team in this World Cup? Who's going to be the wooden spoon?
Asia. No, but I pick Saudi Arabia specifically, but Asia is my pick in general.
I would agree with you. I do agree with you, but for the interest of making it a bit more interesting, I go to Russia. Russia, I think, will lose the first game against Saudi Arabia. Why? Because Saudi Arabia has no pressure whatsoever. They're not at home. They're not even expected to score a goal. And they'll find themselves playing against a Russia that has the weight of a nation, maybe giving them too much hesitation. And Saudi Arabia will take advantage of it. And I do feel Russia will finish dead last in this entire tournament. Almost like a South Africa in 2010.
All right, fair enough. Well, South Africa, did they not get a point? I think they got a point. Anyway, I have to go back and look. I don't really remember.
Just meaning that there's going to be not very strong host like South Africa was.
All right, fair enough. Let me just get here. Set it up. What's the next one? Oh, it's a disappointing player, right? That's a curious one. Why don't you start that?
Okay, my biggest disappointing player, and I have to put it in context. To be a disappointment, you're going to have expectations on you. Like, I'm not going to be disappointed out of any Saudi Arabia player because I'm not expecting them to do anything, right? One player that we have a lot of expectations on, and he's a bit injured, Mo Salah. I think Mo Salah will be a disappointment for me. We imagine Mo Salah scoring goals everywhere because he gets service at Liverpool. Well, guess what? Egypt is not Liverpool. There's no Mane. There's no Firmino. There's going to be no service. Teams will suffocate the service to Salah. Salah will be stuck on an island having to work physically to get a ball. And guess what? The shoulder is going to become an issue if he has to play shoulder to shoulder and trying to fight to get a ball. And teams will be able to silence him. If he scores two goals in this tournament, I'll be happy for him. But for me, even two goals is enough to be a disappointment for Mo Salah, because people have him really highly in their mind and by reputation, and that's really warranted. But his teammates are not the same teammates as in Liverpool, and it's a team game, not a single player game. And for me, he'll be the most disappointing player.
All right. I also have to put mine in context, because I don't think he's actually going to be disappointing, but I think that the perception is going to be that he's going to be the most disappointing player in the tournament, and that I'm picking Raheem Sterling. And the reason I'm picking Raheem Sterling is because of the amount of coverage he's going to get when he doesn't score 15 goals in the World Cup, which of course is the all-time record for multiple World Cups, because the English press are just going to rip him for everything he does when he, you know, breathes one way. Every time he gives the ball away, there's going to be this perception that Raheem Sterling is this devastating player. And as I've just said, England, you know, I don't think England is special in any way. I think that they're going to be pretty decent in 4 years. But right now, I think they're just the same old England. It's kind of going to be, you know, somewhere around the 10th best team in the tournament and likely going to finish accordingly. So Raheem Sterling's probably not going to have much more than a goal, maybe two at the top end, and he's probably going to have a couple of moments where they're going to wonder whether he made the right decision, and because of that, he's going to be universally reported as the most disappointing player in the tournament. So that's my pick for most disappointing player.
Probably unfairly, but that might happen. Yes, all right. My number three, the third question we ask ourselves before this beginning of the World Cup, the biggest disappointing team in this tournament. And I'll go in my, again, I have to put it under circumstance here, under context. Iceland will be the most disappointing team for me because there's so much hype since 2016 and has become almost a darling of the soccer world. And especially if you're interested in player development and long-term player development and all those great ways to teach the beautiful game and to become educators and to become better country as a soccer player, a soccer country. But there's still something to be said about other teams that are good too. And Iceland does have its ceiling. For me, not going out of the group, look, they could surprise me and play even better than I thought. But it was a bit harder in World Cup qualifying than it was in Euro qualifying. And for them, they did play great at home in Reykjavik, but this ain't at home. This is going to be in Russia. And this is going to be a bit more difficult than anticipated. And I do have a feeling the team managed by a full-time dentist, yes, he's a UEFA licensed coach as well, but I feel this team will face its Waterloo and in the group stage will be knocked out.
All right, my most disappointed team, I've kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, is I think the European champions are not going to make it out of the group stage. So based on that, based on pre-tournament expectations, if Portugal does drop out at third place out of Group B, that does seem really advanceable too. I think that they're clearly going to be viewed as the most disappointing team in the tournament. Though I do like your answer. I think that based on, you know, excitement, if they were to finish, you know, with 1 point or something, that would be pretty disappointing for a lot of people.
Yeah. All right. Now, question number four is our game of the tournament. And I've chosen a game that, with my predictions, will happen in the semifinal. It could happen before as well, Dwayne. But my game of the tournament will be France versus Belgium in the knockout stage. Fireworks on both sides. The rivalry, the neighbors, the history, the culture, the nations meeting on the grass surface with a place in the final at stakes. That will be a game that will last 90 minutes, you're going to say yes, but it will last a lot longer in history.
All right. I'm going to pick a game that we know is going to happen from the group stage. And I'm going to pick, and it's actually Tom Marshall from ESPN, who's been on the show a couple times, and he was appearing on the Guardian podcast preview the other day, and he convinced me that this will be the game of the tournament. I actually miswrote it on my note to you, Kevin, in case I was confusing you. Mexico-Germany. It's just simply because the Mexicans are going to play with them. As I've already said, I'm picking Mexico to finish third in this. I think Germany's dominant. I think that Germany's going to win that game, but it's going to be entertaining. So when I'm talking about the game not to miss, it's going to be an entertaining game. It doesn't have to be a classic game. It just has to be an entertaining one. And I think if Mexico goes front foot with Germany, we could have four goals in it. Three of them might go to Germany, but it could be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, that could really be a fun game to watch too. And styles makes fight, they say in pugilistic sports, and I guess in football term, tactics and style as well makes fight, and we'll see if it makes a great game. Moving to question number five, and that would, what was the question number five? Oh, the worst game of the tournament. I know what your worst game is, and I've chosen a different one. Mine is the opening game of the tournament. Why? Because, well, it's a bit of a whimper. You start, all right, let's get excited. The World Cup starts. It starts on Thursday. Oh, well, Russia, Saudi Arabia, that's it. And I have to wait until tomorrow to get a good game. Yeah, that's why I picked that one.
All right, well, that normally would be, it probably is the worst matchup. Well, it is the high, if you do like combined rankings, it is the worst ranked matchup of the tournament. But I also chose Saudi Arabia. I just put Egypt in there because I think without
that's true.
Salah, it's going to be a difficult run. And I, as I said, I really think the injury concerns are worse than we think. So even if Egypt, if they were healthy, if Mo was Cohen, they would be a very intriguing team. But without him, they're just not to me. So Saudi Arabia, Egypt. If you have to go walk the dog or you know, take the significant other out for lunch, that's the game to do it at.
Now, question number six, the shock result of the tournament. And for me, this shock result will have a lot of ramifications down the line. We've been talking about this team as coming up to the top tier of international football for a while. And they've never broke through that glass ceiling. Always got up to it and lost. This time it's going to happen in the quarters. Belgium's going to get right up to that glass ceiling, which is called Brazil. It's going to be a great match. And Belgium, for the first time, will break that glass ceiling, announce themselves to the rest of the world, and qualify for the semifinal versus France with that great victory against Brazil. That if it's Eden Hazard hasn't been injured, he came off limping yesterday in their last friendly before the World Cup. But for me, it is Belgium's time. And what better way to announce yourself at the international best level stage than beating Brazil in the World Cup knockout match?
All right. Well, I've already sort of talked about this a couple times, so not to belabor it. I just think that with Portugal going out, it's obviously going to be very shocking when Morocco beats them in that group stage. And it will happen, you know, fairly early in the tournament. The group stages always provide some great upsets. So, you know, if Senegal goes out, like I suggested too, that would be a great upset. I think Sweden getting through would probably over Mexico would be something that would upset people. But in terms of you know, something that could really happen big, we'll talk about that maybe in a bit, because my dark horse will likely speak to what I'm kind of leaning towards there.
And I don't get mad. This is going to be my dark horse. And what is a dark horse? And our definition of a dark horse is a team that's going to make it to the quarters and maybe lose into the quarters, but we're not expecting them to do anything. And the fact that they make it to the quarters is a dark horse in itself. My dark horse, Dwayne, is England. I think England's going to make it to the quarters, lose in the quarters, but England is a dark horse for me. One of the, we usually should not have any expectations for England. We always do. This time around, not necessarily we have expectations. We're just observers of England national team right now. And I have a feeling England will make it to the quarters. It won't be easy in the quarters, and I'm not saying they're going any further. But England is my dark horse.
Okay, well, yeah. England's likely quarterfinal matchup if it goes chalk, would not necessarily lend well to them. Quarters is kind of their level. Maybe people perceive them to be slipping back a little bit in the past. But quarterfinal, I could see England doing that. I'm not low on England. I'm just not high on them. I'm just on them, you know? Like, yeah. They're England. They're going to do what they do.
Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is Croatia. I could see, in a perfect storm with the amount of talent they have, Croatia winning the tournament. I rarely would say that for a team outside the big 5-6, but this is a team that isn't, that some people are picking to not even make it out of the group. So in terms of those kind of combination, that to me, and for the record, I'm not picking to win the tournament, but I just think that the talent is so high across the board. Modric is such a, you know, a top 10 player in the world that he could be someone that leads a team like that to get them going if they gel. So I do think Croatia has the potential of being a great dark horse. If you're looking for, like, outside the box, like, you know, sort of lower end dark horses, I didn't put this on the lineups, but just off the top of my head, a team like Peru could make a quarterfinal in a perfect storm, I think, and that would be something that would be really, really upsetting. That Peru would be my other dark horse pick if I could have two of them in there. But I think Peru is like more of a like quarters top end versus Croatia. I could see them, you know, going to a medal game top end.
Let's skip question 8 and 10. We'll come back to those in a few minutes, Dwayne, after we go through our knockout stage. But question number 9, the golden boot, the golden glove, and the golden ball. I'll start. My golden boot, we both agree here, Antoine Griezmann, just because we both anticipate France to be playing deep in this tournament, which means having more opportunity to score goals, which means at the end of the day, it's going to go 4, 5, 6, and usually that's enough for the golden boot.
Yeah, we both picked Griezmann. That it has to do with my belief in both his group that he's in and how far I think France will go.
Golden glove, we have the same one here as well. Golden glove will be, for me, the best goalkeeper right now in this tournament just because we don't know the state of health of Manuel Neuer of Germany. The other best keeper in this tournament so far is David De Gea of Spain. And I agree with you, Dwayne. David De Gea, golden glove.
Yeah, and it kills me to take a United player, as anyone well knows. But yes, he is a very dominant goal. He's the main reason why United has won trophies and finished as high as they have in the last couple of years. He's a brilliant keeper. And certainly if Spain goes deep.
Hashtag Dave Says. Going with the last part of this question, the golden ball, which is the player of the tournament, not necessarily just because of goal, but how he plays. You have Antoine Griezmann. I have N'Golo Kanté. Teammates, player of France, both. But for me, Kanté is going to be the difference in France this year compared to 4 years ago. Kanté has announced himself at the Premier League level for the last 3 years, winning it twice back-to-back, 2015 and 16. 16 and 17. No, it doesn't matter. 15, 16, I was right. So Kanté being with France, one of the most important pieces in that midfield if they can find him properly. No one has confidence in Pogba, depending of what his position is. He might be playing as a six, so who knows. But Kante's got the legs to go all day, and for me, he's my golden ball winner.
I think picking French players as our golden ball winners and golden boot winners might be bearing the lead in terms of who we're picking to win the tournament. So why don't we just go through our bracket from now?
Here we go. Okay, so I'll go through my bracket. Okay, my winner of Group A, which is Uruguay, will be playing the runner-up of Group B, which is Portugal. So that's my round of 16. Here, let me go through my round of 16, and we'll go through your round of 16. Does that work?
Okay. Sure. So, well, yeah, go through who your round of 16 matchups, tell us who you win, and then I'll do the same.
So Portugal beats Uruguay in the round of 16. France beat Croatia in the round of 16 as well. Brazil beats Mexico. Belgium beats Poland. Spain beats Egypt. Argentina beats Denmark. Germany beats Costa Rica. And England beats Colombia. That is my round of 16.
All right. I have Uruguay over Morocco. I have Spain over Russia, France over Argentina, Croatia over Peru, Brazil over Sweden, Germany over Switzerland, Belgium over Senegal, and just scrolling down here a little bit, Colombia over England for my round of 16 winners.
And my quarterfinals, according to my round of 16, Portugal versus France on July 6th, France is the winner. Brazil-Belgium on July 6th as well. Belgium the winner. That's my upset. Belgium beating Brazil in the quarterfinals. Spain-Argentina on July 7th. Spain wins. Germany-England on July 7th. Germany wins on penalties.
All right. And my quarterfinals are France over Uruguay, Spain over Croatia. Then you have Brazil over Belgium, and I have Germany over England.
Which leaves my semifinal, the derby, France-Belgium, le derby. C'est français, hein? C'est la France et la Belgique. France-Belgium, July 10th, first semifinal. Second semifinal, Spain and Germany on July 11th, the two winners, and facing each other in the World Cup final, France and Germany in the final for me.
All right, we're not too far off in our final picks. I have France over Brazil, Spain over Germany, so I have a France-Spain World Cup. So you have a neighbor derby in the semis. I have a neighbor derby in the it's France and Germany also. Yeah, anyway, they're all very close.
They're all close to each other anyways. And if you have noticed, a lot of European teams in our semis, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I do have a feeling Europe might be the class of the continents as we speak right now. Not saying it's going to be the same next year or 2 years from now with the rise of Brazil and everything. I just think Brazil needs a year more to get to the level of a Germany or France. But France, Germany on July 15th, for me, Kevin Larame, and I'm wearing my France jersey. It's going to be redemption time 20 years after France 98. The French national team wins the World Cup in Russia 2018. And yeah, I'll be drunk.
It's honestly flip a coin for me when it comes to it. I did pick France. I'm not going to be contrarian just for the sake of it now. In terms of a third place game, just in case anyone cares, I picked Brazil to you know, get revenge, I guess.
On Germany? Revenge,
quote, over Germany in the third place game, because I have a bracket in front of me that has a third place game. So
me too. Mine is Spain and Belgium, and I have Belgium winning the third place game because Spain will be distraught. And usually the underdog in the third place game has a better chance to win because they care. The favorites are still reeling from their defeat in the semi.
Well, yeah, no, that is always a good betting. I like the third place game, and I hope they never get rid of it because it's a nice little appetizer for the final. The teams are usually pretty relaxed. As you say, you know, the Germany won a third place game at home the one time, and it was a big deal to them.
2006, I remember when 2006 for Germany. Yes, for Germany.
Yeah, Croatia won the third place game in 98, and they were a new nation. It meant a lot to them then. I mean, watch the reaction. We're always very cynical as fans for a third place game. What's it matter? But I think once the games get going out there, the players suddenly, about halfway through, realize, you know what? There's a World Cup medal on the line, and when I'm 80 and I look at it, I'm going to have fonder memories of it than I am right now, and they kind of get behind it. So that's I don't think it's – you know, we don't scoff at bronze medal games, so I don't know why we scoff at a third place game in a World Cup. It only happens every 4 years. For God's sakes, we can give up the 90 minutes.
Yes, and you're going home with a medal, which is the only there's three spots you're going home with something. The rest are going home empty-handed. You might have a new contract with a new team. You might make a new sponsorship money, yes. But as a player, silverware, goldware, bronzeware, whatever you want to call it, if you don't win any, if you don't finish top three, you're going home empty-handed no matter what. So there's only three teams. Actually, two, because one team is going home with a medal, but in tears, the team that loses the final. So there's two teams leaving this tournament on a high, on a win, the first and the third place.
Yes, it's not like we're doing like, you know, in some Olympic sports when they have classification games.
We're
you know,
seven,
when they have
eight, like, you're seven, yeah. Eight, like Germany and like Japan plays for the eighth spot in the World Championship in hockey or something.
Yeah, not quite like that. Those are a little silly. But a third place game, it's fine by me. We can keep having that one. And as I say, I enjoy watching it every World Cup because it's kind of like a good appetizer. But we kept this under an hour. I'm kind of surprised, Kevin. I guess maybe any final thoughts on this Russian World Cup? Are you excited heading into it now? Is it dawned on you that we're 48 hours, almost exactly 48 hours from the opening kickoff?
I'm pumped now. Like, I'm really pumped counting the hours. Yesterday I went on a 3-hour bike ride just because I needed to, like, make the time go by quicker. I went to bed early because I wanted the next day to come quicker. It's that type of feeling where Christmas is coming in a few days. I'm ready for Christmas. My tree is built. It's decorated. The studio is built. It's decorated. My clothes are all laid out by day for who's playing, which jersey, which T-shirt I'm going to wear every day. By the way, if you have a Brazil T-shirt that you don't need, I can't find any. So let me know. Nike, if you're listening, let me know. I need a Brazil jersey. Can't find any other ones. I got my Portugal one, so that's good. Because, yes, Portugal is a team that not that I'm high on, but I have a little soft spot on my heart because that's where my honeymoon will be. So we'll see for Portugal. But, Dwayne, France, I'm getting excited because my teams have, like, expectations, like France and Belgium, and it's going to be a great World Cup. And this is the World Cup for me personally where it's been almost six years now that I'm a podcaster, reporter, covering the Montreal Impact and CONCACAF and FIFA as a general. So this is the first World Cup where players that I've interviewed before, players that I have a personal relationship with, players that I can call like someone that I know, a connaissance, are playing in this tournament. And this is gives an extra level to it. It gives an extra, I don't know how you call it, but an extra maybe feeling of belonging when I see people that actually know playing in the World Cup level. It changes everything. And I'm like, wow, it's not about the teams anymore. It's not even about winning. It's about how do you perform. It makes everything a bit more, puts it in perspective, but it does catch my attention even more. I've never been this excited for a World Cup, even though there's like Italy, one of my teams that's not there. Teams that I like to follow, the United States and the team that we know most because of Canada, obviously. But we know United States because of our day-to-day job with soccer today. It's unfortunate those teams are not there, but I'm still really pumped for this World Cup.
You know, yeah, I mean, I always enjoy it. And I was walking home the other day, and I was walking sort of down College Street. And obviously, for those who don't know, College is the heart of Little Italy. And I was walking through it, and this usually is a very pumped up, exciting, like a lot of Italian flags. But I was walking past all the pubs and cafes that normally play the games, like the Dip, which is a famous pub here in the city that normally is a big Italian drawing point. And they still had all the flags out, and all the fronts of the patios have the signs are starting to go up. And that
Except
was the
Sweden.
Sign to me.
Like, you'll never find a Sweden flag anywhere in that neighborhood, but yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, but most pubs, they give like, you probably see it in any major city where they give like the beer sponsor, and it's Amsterdam Brewery here in Toronto for some reason is sponsoring all these pubs. They give all this like, it's like every flag involved, and they put them across there, and it's just, it started to see like it started to look like a World Cup in the city, and we're starting to see a few car flags popping up. There's less and less of them this year for some reason. I don't know what that's about, but maybe that's the shark has been jumped. I don't know. But
this is like trying to find merchandise of the FIFA World Cup. I went to sports stores. They had nothing. I went to the Bay, which is a big big type of chain here, like one of those calls, like a Walmart, but the Bay is like a little higher end type of Walmart. And there were some World Cup merchandise, but only like the jerseys, official jerseys, the expensive stuff. I'm looking for hats and t-shirts and like normal type of gimmicks that you always usually find for the World Cup. Can't find nothing in Montreal. The only place you can really find what you need, and if you are in the Montreal region, I suggest you go there. You go see my friend Gianni at Passion Soccer Boutique. One of the only places where you'll find across the board, not just Nike or Adidas or Puma, not a lot of Puma teams, you're going to tell me in 2018, I know, but you're going to find merchandise and not just like the jerseys, which you're going to have to spend $150 for. You can find the t-shirts that are $30, $35 and everything. So if you're looking for me this afternoon, I'm at Passion Soccer Boutique getting some merch.
All right, sounds good.
And as always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Larme. Hopefully you enjoyed our preview show. We're back daily during the World Cup, 10 a.m. or 10 minutes after the first game of the day, live on our YouTube page, youtube.com/sports. Podcast Network, podcast versions available anywhere you get your podcasts. Look for World Cup Today, for Soccer Today, or even look for Dwayne Rollins, Kevin Larme. The show will show up. Subscribe right then and there. Might as well like and share at the same time. And you always get the podcast first thing at around 11 a.m. every morning during the World Cup. And as always, until tomorrow, very early in the morning, Dwayne and I will be up very early to talk about who's getting the 2026 World Cup. Canada, Mexico, and the United States, or Morocco? The answer comes tomorrow. And until then, have a great soccer.